God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we make it to chapter 28 of the story. It's called New Beginnings. As I think about this chapter, as I hope you have read it as well, another book came to my mind. A book that, quite honestly, I hope none of us ever has to read, nor anyone we know or love. It's available on the website of the Department of Justice. It's called Help, My Child is Missing. In 120 pages or so, parents who have gone through the terrible ordeal of losing a child, of never having them word from them again, share with any parent going through the same circumstance what to do. Have hope. Speak out. Never give up searching. I share that with you because I believe that story reminds us of God's story. He had hope. He never gave up searching. In fact, through his son Jesus Christ, he who came as the good shepherd made an all-out search for us, one that cost him his own life. And then rising again from the tomb, he said, my church shall stand forever. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and I will be with you always. Jesus also said at the end of Luke's gospel, wait in Jerusalem. Wait until you are clothed with power from on high. That same message gets mentioned in the beginning of the book of Acts. Before we even talk about the book of Acts, I'm wearing red today. You know, we celebrated our Good Friday moment a few weeks ago. We had Easter and we all wore white and sang great songs. I thought I'd wear red here today because this is really like Pentecost Sunday. Do you know the book of Acts in the King James Version of the Bible was called the Acts of the Apostles? Doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, does it? But what it probably ought to be called is the acting of the Holy Spirit within the hearts of the apostles. But even that's getting longer, even though it's closer to the truth. So we'll stick with Acts for now. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, wait until you have been clothed with power from on high. And then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all the whole country of Judea, in Samaria, even outside your own nation, and to the ends of the earth. It was so critical, so important. The disciples, 120 of them or so, could not consistently do the work of Jesus, could not consistently go out and do that all-out search. They could not consistently and successfully make disciples of all nations if they tried to do it by their own strength. Now that may seem harsh and hard to say about super saints that are in the Bible, but think about our own lives. How many times have we tried to do something, even a good Christian thing, and we start well, we start off strong and enthusiastic, and then in the tough slog, we give up. It's because we're missing the power from on high. We're trying to do the things of God by the power of man, and we will almost always run out of steam. That's why Jesus knew, why the church knew, why, friends, I hope we will know and remember that for us to do the things of God, we will need the very power of the Spirit of God. It's the only way we're going to continue to do the goodly and godly things of being His witnesses, sharing His love, serving justice, and helping others to grow as His disciples. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. These disciples, these men who had been hot and cold during the gospel, who Jesus told them at least four times that he was going to die and rise again on the third day, but had that go in one ear and out the other, these disciples who were so hot and cold become red hot and stay that way in the book of Acts. They become so bold, they are willing to speak in front of the Sanhedrin. They are willing to even face death itself, standing before the Roman emperor, not allowing anything to stop them from witnessing to the love and the life of our Savior Jesus Christ. How in the world did they get that way? Jesus, who promised them that gift, said that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's from Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. It's as if Jesus is saying, wait, church, wait. You don't have the essential ingredient. You don't have what you need to get started. Maybe this analogy will help. Cell phones. Almost all of us have them. Almost all of us use them. But you know, if you don't plug it in and charge the battery, if you have no power, it's just a piece of plastic and junk. If we have it in airplane mode, this powerful device that we normally can use and check on sports scores or stocks or cute pictures of our kids or grandkids, becomes useless without the power of the network for us to connect. That's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. That gift of His strength so that we speak the very words of God in the situations that we wouldn't know what to do or what to say. That we have the strength of God to go and do and to serve in ways that would just normally wear us out. We have the comfort of God. Oh, so many blessings. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. When that power came, when, as on that day of Pentecost, the power arrived in those disciples that they were able to speak in other languages, the crowd was confused, to say the least. They were confused because here were people, just normal folks from Galilee and Jerusalem, who suddenly were speaking linguistically like it was a United Nations convention. When the crowd wondered how all this happened, the Apostle Peter had a bold answer. This is a fulfillment of a prophecy given in Joel chapter 2, when he says, in the last days, God will pour out my Spirit on all people. And then Peter's bold to tell them, all of this happened because God had sent Jesus, and you sent him to a cross and buried him in a tomb. But God raised him again to justify us. Peter's boldness through the work of the Spirit, and the work of the Spirit in the hearts of the people hearing that message, moved in a way that made the church grow from 120 on that first day to over 3,000. And it doubled, and it grew again, and again, and again, all by the power of the Spirit. Repent and be baptized, Peter said, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the church grew to the point that the Jews became jealous, and Saul, the Pharisee, was seeking to persecute them and even bring them to death. When God saw Paul's passion, he saw an opportunity to glorify himself by turning the direction of Paul's passion from being against the church to instead being for the church and for the purposes of God. And he did it, of course, by the Holy Spirit. When Saul, was encountered by Jesus on the road, when he's told, why are you persecuting my church and persecuting me? When he's struck blind, God in his mercy sends one of the disciples to him. And in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 17, Ananias comes to the house and puts his hand on Saul, and he says to him, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And Saul is changed so much that he is given a new name, he's giving new marching orders, and if there was ever anyone who deserved some frequent flyer miles, it was the Apostle Paul. He traveled more distance and started more churches than any of the other disciples that we know of. He did so because the power of the Spirit filled him and took the passion that he felt for God and shaped it in a way that best fit for his world at that time. You see, the Holy Spirit can do the same thing for us, friends. When we'll pause to listen, when we will seek him for guidance, when we will turn to him in tears at times when we need a comforter, Jesus, who promised the Holy Spirit, will ensure he will be there for you and me. And he will be there to help us love those who need his love, witness to those who need his word, and serve those who need a witness that God still cares. I pray we will be open to the work of the Holy Spirit, open to him opening the word of God to us and bringing it to life, open to him whispering in our ear of the next person we are to speak to or to serve, open to his guidance of situations to avoid or of situations to join. God will guide those whose hearts are open to his Spirit. He will be our internal GPS, God's placed inside of us Spirit, will help us know where to go, what to say, and whom to serve. May God be glorified as his Spirit works in you, as his Spirit opens your heart to listen to him and to follow. May God be glorified as he continues his new beginning in us. The Acts of the Apostles may have come to an end, but the act of the Holy Spirit in the church even today still goes on. God's story is being written through you, friend, and God's story is being written in all of us as we let his Holy Spirit be the author of our lives. Amen.